I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 7. The book of Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. I trust you had a great weekend, and I trust that as our pastor has been preaching all down through this month and what we've been trying to share with you, that our focus is always on Jesus Christ. And I want to thank the church personally. We thanked you last week when we were up here with our family, but I want to thank you again for your outpouring of love on myself and on our family. You just you don't have to do what you do to prove that you love us, because we know you love us. You pray for us, and your prayers mean more than anything. But you all have just went above and beyond to show us your love, and we sincerely appreciate that. My waistline appreciates that. And the weight that I lost before Christmas, I've now gained that back, so I'll have to. But we don't go on weight loss plans during Christmas, do we? Thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for loving us. You're one of the greatest group of people in all the world, and I'm so glad to be a part of you. I'm so glad to be a part of you. This thought has, was shared with me by a dear friend of myself and Calvin Ray. We've been privileged to meet some wonderful people throughout our time in ministry. And one of the dearest friends we have in this world is the Duncan family from Florida. And many of you know our love and affection for them. It goes back longer than I've been around. Calvin Ray and their family, they've been dear friends for many, many years. But Roger was just so special to all of us. Calvin Ray had a special relationship with him, and I did as well. And since through his passing and through his time on earth, we've become close to the children as well. And I consider Hoy a dear friend, and we text very often. And also Roger's daughter, her name is Angie. Angie is a great woman of faith. And I know she texts Cal Ray, she texts myself, and we text often about just encouragement and just share things from the Word of God that we find. And she sent me about a month ago this little thought. And I've been keeping it in the back of my head and just working over it and chewing on it. And I hope to deliver this tonight the way I feel it in my heart. When you've been chewing on something for a good while, and you wait for God's timing to pull the trigger, it's amazing how God puts it all together. And it wasn't till just a couple of days ago that He gave me the final piece to the puzzle to put this sermon together for tonight. Isn't that just like God? He always does that. But I want you, again, this is what we consider a Christmas passage. But it's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. And my question tonight is, what do we do after Christmas? You know, Jesus is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you realize that even Christmas carols that we sing, some of them weren't even written for Christmas. Do you realize Joy to the World wasn't intended to be a Christmas song? It wasn't until many years after it was written that it was, put in as a Christmas carol. It was written from Psalm 98. Isaac Watts wrote it, inspired by Psalm 98, but it wasn't intended to be a Christmas carol. So Joy to the World, the Lord has come, works just as well in the hot summer as it does in Christmas time. Actually, we had that yesterday, didn't we? A hot day. But so this tonight, I want to share with you. And again, if you bear with me just for a second to explain to you where I'm going, and I hope that we'll all end up in the same direction. Chapter 7, verse 14, the prophecy given of Jesus Christ that you also find in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, that's the word we're going to focus on tonight, Emmanuel. Now, we know in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the same word is there, but it begins with the letter E. And it actually goes on to say, which being interpreted, is God with us. God with us. If you look up the word in Isaiah 7:14, and you also look up the word in Matthew 1:23, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it'll say, God with us. But if you look up Isaiah 7:14 in the Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew, it also gives you another meaning. It doesn't say God with us. It says a with us God. Now you say, why would it say that? Well, if you notice the word Emmanuel, the last two letters are E-L. In the Hebrew, those two letters are the name of God. And you'll find that all through Scripture. God is called in many different names. But you'll find that He's called El Shaddai. He's called El Elyon. He's called many other names. But always, most of the time when it refers to the name of God, it always has the letters E-L at the beginning. But when it comes to the name Emmanuel, the two letters are at the end. So literally what the word Emmanuel means is with us, God. We praise God that He is God with us, as Matthew 1:23 states. Because the word Emmanuel encompasses the heavenly nature of God, creating a perfect union with the human image. And because He came, we can have life and have it more abundantly. That's what we've been celebrating this whole month. That's what we should celebrate every single day of our life. That God has come to us. We couldn't go to Him, so He came to where we were. But what do we do after Christmas? We flip it. Not only is God with us, but He's a with us God. That, to me, that brings a whole new meaning to this word. Because not only did heaven come down, but it also means that heaven stayed with us. that didn't excite you. It excites me. Because even though it's December 26th through December 24th, thank God Jesus, when He came to stay. And I realize He didn't stay in the earthly form, the human form, His entire life. No, there was a time when He went back to the Father. But He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And He remained here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so from the beginning of time, He was here. Way before time began, He was here. And thank God He came wrapped as a baby. He was here. But thank God He is still here. He is with us. He's a with us God. And so tonight I want to share with you just a few instances on a with us God. First of all, I want you to notice He's a with us God in our successes. In our success, He is a with us God. Do you understand? I know we repeat it so often, and this is a simple message tonight, but I hope you can relate. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming from the Father above. Every good thing that happens to you, every blessing that comes from God above. Tim Mitchell described it this morning in his wonderful artwork on the board. He was trying to tell us in his own way just how wonderful God is. He created all of this, and everything that happens in this world, it's all because it came from the hand of God. Scientists can try to deny it. They can try to stamp it out. They can try to come up with theories. They can try to come up with arguments. But they can never deny there's something special that had to happen. And I'm glad I know who it was. It wasn't a thing. It wasn't a happening. No, it was God. Everything that happens good in your life comes from the hand of God. Every success comes from the hand of God. In 1 Kings chapter 8. If you go home and read it, it's a pretty lengthy chapter. But it's when Solomon was dedicating the temple of God after he built it. And you'll find that in the first part of the chapter, you'll read where it states that after he had dedicated the temple, the presence of God came so much that the priests and the ministers couldn't stand to minister. And then after that, you'll find that Solomon prayed a lengthy prayer. And he began to thank God for what he had done, for what he had promised, for giving him the strength to build a temple of God. And then after that, you'll notice he turned to the people of God and he made this statement. He said, the Lord God be with us as He was with our fathers. What was he saying? He said God is responsible for everything that just happened. It all came from Him. And because He was the God that is with us, He was the God that was with our fathers, and He'll be with us now. Aren't you thankful every good thing that's happened before you came along and after you've been here? It all comes from God. He's a with us God in our success. He's a with us God in our struggles. In our struggles, He is a with us God. In Psalm 46, you go home and read Psalm 46. It's a psalm all about trouble. In fact, the first verse says, the Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He goes on to say about all the bad things that happened in his life. The sons of Korah wrote Psalm 46, and you'll find he gives a big long list of things that are happening. But at the very end of that, he says this: the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He went on to say, even though we go through struggles, even though we go through hard times, thank God the Lord God of hosts is still with us. I don't care what you faced in 2021. Thank God the Lord was with you. He was faithful. And as we begin a new chapter, and as we turn over the calendar, and as we start 2022, I'm so thankful the same God that was with us last year will still be the same God when He'll be with us this year. Hallelujah. And we'll have times of success, but we're going to have times of struggle. That's just the way life is. That's just the way life brings us. And how many times have we said it from this pulpit? We never know from one minute to the next how our lives can change and how our church has changed in the last 2 years. We've seen people that used to sit in these pews faithfully. They're no longer here because God has chosen to take them home. I tell you what, folks, it's been a rough year on your pastors. We've had to say goodbye to some of our dearest friends, some great prayer warriors, some great soldiers of the faith. I know of about a dozen preachers that were close to me that God has taken them home. I want to tell you, folks, sometimes that's a struggle. But may I remind you, the same God that was with me before God took them home was the same God that was with me when He took them home, and He'll be with me tomorrow. He is my refuge. He's the God that is with us in our success. He is a with us God in our struggles, but He's also a with us God in our storms. In our storms. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. What was he saying? He was saying, yes, we're going to have to go through times of success, and we need to give God glory and the praise. We're going to go through times of struggle, but when those storms come, He says, I'll still be with you. And right in the middle of those storms, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. We've been through some major storms. I'm not just talking spiritually. I'm talking physically. We've never seen the devastation in this nation that we haven't seen these past few weeks. So like every so often, we'll have these times. And my, how God's people always rally to the cause. Because of your goodness and because of other people's goodness, through evangelistic outreach and through some wonderful people, BWC Trucking, we're able to watch as they put pictures and posted pictures of them delivering all these goods to the kids down there in Mayfield, Kentucky. Not only in that area, but all across the region. My, how God's people have risen to the occasion, and even other people, good American people, have risen to the occasion. But we may be faulted for a lot of things, but I want to tell you this. When our nation struggles, we come together and we help people where they need help. Amen. And these storms have just ravaged that area. But I saw something the other day, and I showed the girls at the office to show Cal Ray. My, how the Lord can come through right in the middle of those storms and can give you strength. Right in the middle of that tornado in Mayfield, Kentucky, a woman was shooting a video of the devastation. And as she was circling around with her camera, you heard a piano in the background. And all of a sudden she focused on a man playing a piano. And right in the middle of that devastating tornado with the roof off the house, right in the middle of his living room, what was left of his living room, there was a piano. And he was playing, Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. And it got down to that last part. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. We have a dear preacher friend from that area, from Glasgow, Kentucky. His name's Ricky Prophet. And right after I showed Cal Ray that video, he got a call from Ricky Prophet. And they were interchanging communication. He was trying to find out how things were going down there. And Cal Ray mentioned the video. Ricky said, I know that guy. He said, he's known here in this area. He's known for his love for the Lord. He sings. He said, he didn't even know anyone was recording him. He just sat down and in the time of a storm, he was able to find strength in the name of Jesus. Oh my, no matter what, if it's a tornado or a hurricane or whatever you face spiritually or physically, I'm glad God is with us. Hallelujah. He's with us in our success. He's with us in our struggles. He's with us in our storm. But he's the God, the with us God in our sorrow. Oh my. I already quoted you that verse in John chapter 14. When he said in times of struggle, he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And whenever Joshua and God's people had to say goodbye to Moses, God confirmed it with Joshua in chapter 1 verse 5. He said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. My, what a promise Joshua could stand on. After that time of mourning, he understood that the same God that was with Moses would be the same God that would be with him. And even though they had a time of mourning and a time of sorrow, God said, you're going to have to go through this time. But I promise you, as I was with your leader, as I was with the one that came before you, I will be with you. I will not leave thee. I will not forsake thee. Amen. And I'm so thankful we've seen it displayed tonight. Robin up here pouring her heart out to the Lord. All she could say was tears. But God was able to give her comfort in your sorrow. He will give you comfort in your sorrow, Robin. He gives you comfort during when you have to go through it. But it's after that so many times that we forget about the family members. The days and weeks and years to come. That will just think of something that will remind them of something in their family's life. And they'll have times of sorrow. Guess what? It's okay to go through those times. Nothing's wrong with you. The devil will get on your shoulder and tell you you don't have faith. Just punch him in the eye and say, get off my shoulder. I've got faith in the same God that brought me through when I was going through. Will bring me through now. Why? Because he's a with us God. He's with us in our sorrow. These last couple of weeks, we've had to say goodbye to some really dear friends of ours. And I want to share with you a couple of stories of how God showed up in the time of sorrow. A dear pastor friend of ours, he's an assistant pastor down at New Life Church down at Northmoreland. His name's Matthew Klein. Matt had visited our church many times during COVID and actually before COVID. He just loved to frequent here and loved to worship with us. And he came down with cancer and it spread through his body. And he was nearing the end of his life under hospice care. And they were going to send him home. And he said, I will not go home. He said, you have to take me to my prayer room. And so they willingly let him go to what he called his home, which was his prayer room. The prayer room was at the church at New Life Fellowship. Every day for over 3 years, Matt visited the prayer room and prayed, fought spiritual battles and prayed, fought spiritual battles and prayed, got strength from God every day of his life. And in the last hours and in the last couple of weeks of his life, he spent the remaining days in that prayer room calling out to God. And I talked to his son the other day. He said, God did something for us that we've never seen happen before, probably never will since. He gave us great comfort through our sorrow, knowing that the last few days of my dad's life, he wanted to be spent in the prayer room. And you'll read the obituary. Matthew Klein went to be with his Lord at the prayer room of the New Life Church. Oh my, what a way to go. Oh my, praying to the Heavenly Father. God gave them comfort during their time of sorrow. And a few days ago, our dear friend Homer Goddard, after hearing of his cancer diagnosis, didn't last but just a couple of days. And God gave that family comfort in their time of sorrow. My Uncle Gary was privileged to preach and be a part of that service. And he told about the testimony about how Homer got saved. And he was broke down on the side of the road and my Uncle Gary stopped to help him. didn't know who he was. And as he was leaving, Homer just said these words, "Thanks for stopping by." And that very next Sunday morning, Homer called Dorothy May, said, "I want to go to church with you this morning." And so he came and went to Soda Baptist where Gary was pastoring. And Gary had in his mind about preaching a message, and he was going to use the title of what Homer said, "Thanks for stopping by." And little did he know that Homer was going to stop by that Sunday morning. Gary preached the message. Homer came and got saved and got his life changed. And as they were out there in the cemetery and they were laying his body to rest, Homer worked for the railroad for many, many years, retired from the railroad. And as they were finishing up that committal service, they asked Shaughnessy's son and Brian's son to say a prayer, which would be his great-grandson. And that young man, I think he's in his teenage years, maybe 13 years old, bowed his head and began to pray a prayer. Gary said it was like heaven came down and glory filled our soul. And after he got done saying amen, all of a sudden in the distance they heard a train going by blowing its whistle. And he said, you think that's just coincidence? He said, no, it was God giving us comfort in our time of sorrow. Hey, he understands when we go through those times, and he'll be with you. Hallelujah. The God that is with us, the with us God in our success, in our struggles, in our storms, in our sorrow. But finally, I want you to understand this. This is the most important. He's a with us God in our salvation. You cannot be saved unless God is with you. The same God Emmanuel is the same way you're going to find salvation. You say that's true. Yeah, Acts 4:12 says neither is salvation in any other name. In any other. For there is none other than name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. Emmanuel. The only time it's mentioned is in this chapter that I read in Matthew 1:23. The only time it's ever mentioned. But it didn't have to be mentioned anymore. Because when Emmanuel came, he was here. And he wasn't leaving. He was going to stay. His presence was going to stay. And everyone that has been saved since Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary has had to come through the same name. Jesus. Jesus. He's a with us God. And in these days, in these last days, he's going to do anything he can to try to make people understand that it's all about him. And you can't go into heaven any other way than by and through the name of Jesus. You may have tried every way. You may have thought you could get there under your good merit or your family name or your heritage or your lineage or however, or maybe your finances. You may think there's other ways to get there. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. He's going to use any means necessary to make sure our family comes to the Lord. I'm going to share this with you in closing. And I hope I can share it with you. And you'll understand how much God loves you. He'll do something just for one person that could happen to nobody else just to make sure they get right with him. We were able to spend some time with my grandmother Lola on Christmas Eve. And the family was coming in, just going in and out and just spending time with her. And my Uncle Gary that I just mentioned, he came in. We were talking about some things. And it doesn't take long for my Uncle Gary's like my Papa James Ray. Don't take long, he'll start talking about the Lord. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. But he shared with me something that happened in our family just recently. And I want to share this with you in closing tonight. I have a cousin. I know that's hard to believe. Got some here tonight, don't I, Connor? But I have a cousin from Greenfield. He actually lives in Hillsboro, but he pastors in Greenfield. His name's Randy Abbott. Maybe you know Randy. Some of you have been to his church, Chapel of Hope in Greenfield. We love him to death. And his mother and my grandpa James Ray, we're brother and sister. That's the connection. And we grew up, his family came to Beach Fort when we all went out there together. And God started using them in Hillsboro and in that area. So they had moved up there. And Randy and Marie have two sons, Greg and Chad. And they're close to my age. They're a little bit younger than me. But we grew up together in church camp. And they were on fire for the Lord. Chad, I believe, even maybe preached at one time. And I don't know. I don't want to judge. I don't judge anybody's salvation. I'm not a judge, but I'm a fruit inspector. The Bible says, "You shall know them by their fruits." And Chad and Greg, I pray for them often. I just want them to be right with the Lord. Of course, Randy and Larry know them, and they would know them better than anybody. But Chad, I know he needs the Lord in his life. He needs him and his family need to get right with God. And Randy's the type of guy that he's very funny. He's a cut up. But when it comes to the Lord, he's very serious, and he'll use any opportunity to share the Lord. And he has tried his best over these last few months to share the Lord with Chad, and Chad just don't want anything to do with it. Very push off and doesn't want to hear about the Lord. And so Randy just left it in the hands of God. Said, "God, you're going to have to show him how much you care for him." Well, Randy's sister, her name is Sharon. She never married, and she lives there in Hillsboro. And Sharon basically was another mother to Greg and Chad growing up. And she lives in the old home place that Randy grew up in, that his mom and dad lived in. And so it's an older home, and she had a water break the other day. And she knew something was going on. She wasn't having any pressure, and the floor was hooving up. And so Randy went to check it out and found the leak, and it was going to be a lot more work than what they'd estimated. So he got a hold of Chad, and they run a sign business. And he said, "Dad, I'll bring my crew over, and we'll tear up that floor, and we'll fix that, and everything will be okay." So they got over there together. Randy got over there with Chad, and his crew started tearing up the flooring on that bathroom. And when they got it all tore out, one of Chad's crew members noticed that there was a 2x4 laying on the ground. It was just by itself. It wasn't holding up anything, Mark. It was just laying there. It had some wire on it like it had been hooked to something, but it was just laying there. And the crew member, he took it out and handed it to Chad. He said, "I don't know what this is, but it's just in the way down here. Won't you take it?" So Chad took that 2x4 and he held it up and he looked down, and it had some writing on it. And the writing said, "This bathroom was remodeled in March of 1971 by Truby Abbott. Whoever holds this 2x4, you need to ask yourself, is your heart right with God?" That's Chad's grandpa. In 1971, he remodeled the bathroom, left a 2x4 there 50 years ago. Randy said, "Chad, what are you going to do with that?" He said, "I'm going to take it home." Don't you think the Lord loves you that much that he'll let a 2x4 lay for 50 years just so one day you'll dig it up and look at it and find out where your hope lies? It's in Jesus Christ. Folks, he's a with us God. You can't escape him. You can't escape him. He's with you. He loves you enough. And he'll go to the ends of the world to make sure to know that he loves you. I pray tonight it don't take a 50-year 2x4 to get you to understand how much God loves you. He brought you here tonight for me to share the love of Christ and to share with you his name, even on December 26th, it's still Emmanuel. And he is still with us.